Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Driven by our D&M Leasing Studios, live from Radio Row in New Orleans, it's the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece, right here on 105.3 The Fan, where I feel like Alec gave me directions that I immediately did not follow.
Yeah, what was that all about?
Alec, I'm sorry, I thought I understood your directions. I clearly executed them poorly.
So you're saying you might have actually understood.
I thought
you just didn't know how to.
I clearly did
okay,
not understand the instructions.
Kevin,
Alec,
you and I are here.
Is your okay?
But I don't know who that guy.
Yeah, I'm
is
sorry.
Talking over there.
My computer is not.
Yeah,
because he's not on YouTube or Twitch right now.
Yeah, where are you on the Zoom, buddy?
Just making noises.
Hey,
a second, guys.
Alec. Like, 1 minute into the show, how much have we let you down?
I'd say, you know, we're off to a great start. You know, I'm going to be
Look
company
at that.
Guy
See,
here.
That's promising.
Yeah.
Okay.
Out of all the shows here, though, out of every show that's with us this week, aren't we the one that could be the most calamitous?
Hey, even
like
the way
sweaty?
You said that word.
No, that's clammy. like, the one that could, like, it could fall apart at any point or would start off the way we did. You know, like, we're that show that somehow it's chaos, but somehow it's a beautiful chaos, and we all love it, except for Kevin.
Yeah, that's very true. So
we're a top 10 show in the country, though, so take credit in that, man.
Mm, yeah.
It's awesome.
Once we get ranked properly, I'll be more excited about that.
All where right. do you want? Where do you think we should be?
One.
Oh, there's no way in hell we should be behind show number 6. Come on. Like, come on. What are we even talking about? All right. So let's talk for just a second, and then maybe we'll get to some other sports things. We're live at Media Row, not yeah. Radio Row.
I noticed that today, and maybe it's been called Media Row for the last few years as – we got back to doing this in Phoenix last year in Vegas, and I noticed that they don't call it Radio Row anymore, which is right. I would say less than 50% of yeah. the people broadcasting here are radio stations. I would say it's approximately 50-50, but obviously you have a lot of TV shows. You have podcasters. You have different
the
things.
The Hunt family.
Yeah, the Hunt family's broadcasting here all week. But it's really not Radio Row anymore because I don't even know if over 50% of the people that are here are radio stations.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point. Lots of podcasts and TV streaming type stuff. Lots of different options, which we also allow for, right? We give you the YouTube and Twitch. We got all those options for you as well as radio. So for us, it still is Radio Row.
There There you go. That's the spirit. Hey, I know you kind of made reference to it, Corey, but I legitimately was scared we weren't going to make it here yesterday when we're in our cab. Now, we took an old school cab because there was a giant wait for Uber, and we're like, nobody is waiting for the taxi cabs. And then I think we quickly learned why that might have been.
I'll be honest. I've ridden in many taxi cabs here, and that's the first time that's ever happened. That thing did stall three times on me, though.
I've never.
So the dude pulled over to the side of the road, and I thought he had a flat tire.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, do we have a flat? And then he just sat there for a second.
I was worried.
Didn't respond, and immediately turned the car
back. We were talking crap about the Pelicans, and then you might have said something derogatory about New Orleans.
I wouldn't.
You can't. Just because we're having a conversation in the back does not mean you can say you have to get out. You guys aren't talking glowingly about New Orleans. And I just like to say, I love New Orleans as a place to visit. Some people don't. Some people do. I do like it here. The Pelicans are pathetic. But I was like, he's getting us out because we're not saying all these glowing things. Because I said, do you know what happens when you dig a 6-foot hole to bury yourself? Or I guess you wouldn't be burying yourself for your family to bury you in New Orleans. You're buried at sea.
Well, okay. Yes, kind of. It is below sea level.
I think if you dig a 6-foot hole, I think the ocean rises up.
Was that news to you yesterday, though?
Yes.
Whenever we were explaining that you had to be buried above ground
because
here?
I saw the really cool cemetery, and y'all were like, well, you have to bury him above ground. And you just said it like it was just a common thing. And maybe everybody does know that. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I thought it was just because New Orleans is fancy as hell.
Whales are mammals, and you have to be buried above ground in New Orleans.
It's a little odd, Kevin.
Because of the sea level.
Seeing Reggie over there just having his own radio show without us, you know?
Aren't you proud of him?
I am proud and a little hurt. It's like watching, you know, it's like watching an ex-girlfriend that you really cared about, but y'all mutually parted ways.
That never happens,
and,
right?
Yeah, sometimes it does. You're just like we're not right for each other. And then now that she's off doing something great.
I feel like you're taking a big shot at Alec right now.
We love Alec. That was a long relationship, though. We had a long relationship with Reggie.
What are you hoping to accomplish?
Yeah,
with
I don't
this?
Know what you want to do. Go do Houston radio then.
All right.
You want to talk about the Astros? Go over there.
Hey, take your headset off and just yell Reggie really loud.
They'll get mad right here. Kansas City people will be like, you're not even supposed to be here, Dallas.
They're on a break. Yeah.
Don't worry, we never will be.
Yeah, for actual Super Bowl purposes.
Stop it. Remember in Arizona last year, I had a bloody handprint on the wall in the bathroom?
2 years ago?
No, in Arizona last year for spring training, I had a bloody handprint on the wall. This year, there is blood underneath my sink. So I don't know why I keep landing in these hotel rooms that have blood in them, but I'll show you when y'all want to come up there.
It just seems like if you were cleaning a hotel room, one of the first things I would probably look for is blood.
Yeah.
Assuming you don't break out the black light, and that's probably not a great idea.
You don't want to do that.
My hotel room has the same water pressure that I have at my house, which the city of Dallas is like, yeah, you only have to have 30, whatever it's called, like water pressure. What is it called?
PSI?
Maybe PSI. Dinwiddie knows all about that. But I was like, my shower's not working. But I found out y'all showers are good. So I just got a room that I need to switch. But, so if I stay in this room and I smell really bad by Wednesday or Thursday, there's nothing I can do. I don't really have, like, water for a shower. I just have, like, drips.
You could take a horse bath.
I have no clue how they do that.
Did you say horse?
Whores.
I'm sorry, what?
Well, if you guys are doing whatever you want in the first 5-7 minutes of the show, why can't I?
All right, man.
All right. Let's talk about, well, actually, I have a question for you. So, there's a lot of talk behind the scenes about, or I guess not really behind the scenes, that one of the reasons the Mavericks made this Luka trade was because they thought that he was out of shape. So, this is seriously my question. Do you think there's any chance this trade could be a wake-up call for Luka? Because I thought about just a couple of different players that jumped to mind who were really, really awesome to start their career and then just didn't really do anything. Now, I know it's not quite the same because Luka is more prolific on the All-NBA first team than any player we've ever seen at this age. But that's just kind of what sprung off my curiosity. If he'll see this and be like, oh, damn, I was like the franchise, and they were like, we're done.
I will say no. He got sent to the LA Lakers. if they would have sent him to the Washington Wizards,
okay,
maybe a little bit different. Like, you're going to now the worst team in basketball, a poorly run franchise that looks like they can never win. So maybe if that was the case, he's going to the Lakers.
Yeah.
Like, everybody besides us Dallas people are pumped up about this in the NBA. They're like, awesome, this guy is going there. So I don't think he's going to change at all. He gets to play with his hero.
Mm-hmm.
So I see no change. There's never been a change in him about the refs. It only happens like for one or maximum two games. And then he goes right back. He just can't help himself. And I think there's a lot of things in his life that he just can't help himself until he gets real help. And I don't think this is going to cause him to want real help at all.
I think I'm going to reiterate everything Mike just said. All of those points are dead on. He goes to the most visible team in the entire country, or in the NBA. He goes there, so he gets the look. Everybody's already, oh, we love you, Luka, because A, he's there, and B, he's Luka. I mean, he's going to be that great. Luka, whenever he would, somebody would reprimand him around here, and he'd go, okay, fine, I'll show you what I can do. And then he'd go do it. And then he was like, everybody loves me again. I can slack off a little bit more again. And that's, so Kevin, with the part of saying this was rock bottom, it wasn't a rock bottom for him. This isn't one of those things where he's going to learn a true lesson. I would love for it to, but I don't think this is a rock bottom because it's just a lateral shift.
I agree with that. The only thing that could change in his world now is, I remember asking a year or so ago, my buddy who was an agent, he still is an agent, he's not with the agency that Max Christie was a part of, I said, man, do you think Luka is going to leave if the Mavericks had made the conference finals? But, you know, it didn't look great, right? Things didn't look great for the Mavs. And I was like, he said, no. He goes, Luka runs that organization. He goes, he can do whatever he wants whenever he wants. He has no desire at all to leave a team that he's pretty much the owner of.
Yeah.
Now, this was a year plus ago. This was before the Adelsons came in and bought the team. So I think going to L.A. with LeBron on the team, he might struggle and have to change a little bit of, this is not your franchise. We see you as the franchise player. I don't know how L.A. is going to do that. I honestly don't know how the Buss family does it, but I would feel like it's LeBron's show still. It will not. Luka's going to be the better player today, but I don't think it's going to be Luka's show, which is going to be interesting in the offseason, how the Lakers see it, how LeBron sees it, how Luka sees it. But that might be the one thing that changes is, he had for a while here, and I think that started to change recently, but he had for a while here, he was the Dallas Mavericks in every way. And Bill Duffy, his agent, they liked having complete and total control over the organization for a while. It started to change, and now going to the Lakers, will he get to run that whole franchise as in do whatever he wants whenever he wants?
Now, okay, and so I see this from the 817, and this isn't exactly true. It's true on face value, and they're like, hey, but this cost him $100 million, $115 to be specific, but not really, because that's for people who are like, he could have signed a Supermax with the Mavericks in the offseason. Now he can't sign that same Supermax. He loses $115 million. Depending on how he structures his contracts, he could actually make more money because of this. Like, if he does a two-year deal for his next extension, then he would be up for, like, the super-duper max or whatever the hell it's called.
I like that name.
And he can pop that contract every 2 years.
Exactly.
Or even every other year.
Exactly. And so I understand that because I've seen the same thing that's essentially like, hey, you know, he cost himself $115 million. That's true, like, if his basketball career ended in the next 5 years.
His agent's not telling him that
right now.
His agent's going, no, we'll make money.
Crap. I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I don't want to stop this conversation down. It sounded like Nico and the Mavs might have not offered him the Supermax, going, we're not offering you $115 more million dollars than you can get on the market. We'll offer you $50 million more. So I understand the potential contract, but he never got offered it, one. And then, two, I don't even know if the Mavs are going to offer the super-duper max.
Do you think – I know this is speculation. This is probably not fair. My question was going to be, do you think the Mavs think he'll be elite in 5 years? Not to go all Cole Hamels on this, but it kind of feels like the Mavs are like, I don't think so.
I think they're betting on – this is why they traded him. one of the reasons is at 30 years old, his career is going to go downhill in a hurry.
I got you.
His work ethic, if it doesn't change, he's already overweight. He can play at this. It's a, you know, I know this is a different story, and people are going to be like, stop doing this, Mike. Well, deal with it. Is my dad got to know Cecil Fielder a little bit, not a lot, because they would go to Baton Rouge. We're here in New Orleans, Baton Rouge, not far away from here. They would do a big camp together. And there's a whole bunch of guys there. Will Clark was there, stuff like that. And one of the coaches said, hey, Cecil, you know, everybody loves you right now. But as soon as you get away from hitting 40 or more home runs, they're just going to call you a fat ass who's out of shape and doesn't care. As long as you keep doing what you're doing, they won't care that you're fat and out of shape. But as soon as you stop doing this, as soon as you stop doing what you're doing for, at the time, the Detroit Tigers, it's people are going to just kill you for being out of shape, because you know you're out of shape, but you are still destroying the baseball. You're still a very productive player. As soon as Luka stops being this super productive player, which is going to be tougher when he gets older and he's put on this, he's had this much weight on his body for such a long time, and his knees and his hips are going to take the pressure of that, is all of a sudden he will be called a fat ass and a lazy piece of you know what. But that's probably, to your point, about 4 or 5 years down the road. And so I'm sure the Mavericks are betting on about 5 years down the road, he was going to be called a lot of bad names.
Then let that happen in 5 years is just the kind of the way I was.
Okay, so let me ask you.
Worry about then.
Okay, so let me ask you about now. I hear you. I understand all the reasons why he's like, no, this works for me. I'm not changing. Do you think being paired with, and I know people have questions about how Luka and LeBron work basketball-wise, but I'm going to focus on something else. You're being paired with perhaps the greatest conditioned athlete in the history of the world. Like, he's still playing at an insane level 22 years in. Do you think being alongside LeBron or having conversation with LeBron, or LeBron sitting down to me and like, this is about to be your team, man. You need to get your ass together. Like, he clearly respects LeBron. Do you think that would move the needle? Forget the money. Forget what outside people say. This is somebody that is respected by people in the league and respected by Luka. And he's like, you want to have a long career? Quit doing this.
For Luka's life and career, I hope so. But nothing's got through to him.
I got
He didn't like Rick Carlisle, he got rid of Rick Carlisle.
And how long is LeBron going to be there? I mean, it could be this year, and then he opts out and he moves on.
Possible.
So I see what you're saying.
But there's a possibility, right, Corey? I mean, you're with your mentor, your hero. Maybe it will change him. I'm not betting on it, but I still think he's going to put up 30-point triple-doubles all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, we might talk about this another time. If we're talking about conspiracy theories from the 972, this is the conspiracy theory I most want to be true. What if the NBA makes it right by rigging the draft lottery for us so we get Cooper Flagg?
I'll take Cooper Flagg.
Now, we would have to obviously miss even the play-in for that to happen, but...
No, if you lose in the play-in...
Oh, you still get to be in the...
Yeah, you're
oh,
at the, yeah, that's you're right. Because the Hawks. Okay, the Hawks last year like were the 10 seed and lost and got the first pick.
So that's the conspiracy theory I want to choose to be true. Because then, if you're like, you got Anthony Davis, a first-round pick, and Cooper Flagg, I'm like... Yeah, okay.
I'll take Cooper Flagg. Yeah, he's a good basketballer.
I can live with that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, questions that will answer who wins the Super Bowl. Plus, hey, the Stars made a really big trade this weekend, too, and it's much better than the Mavs trade. All of that next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We asked Reggie if he wanted to be on the show, and instead he showed up.
There he is.
In the Zoom on the fan cam.
There's Reginald.
His response, which I think is pretty reasonable, is that he has his own show to do.
Yeah, he said, I left the Tolos behind a long time ago.
Oh, my.
So I feel like it's on us, Kevin, to really comfort the Tolos that he hurt and left behind.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, so we're.
Got a better job.
We're already.
What do you want him to do?
Mike, it's like there's a lot of times where you're just like, Mike, do you have to be so real about it?
Oh, I like it. I'm really fascinated to see how the rest of the show goes today. Mm. All right, so burning questions for the Super Bowl or Do you want to start with the Stars? Because obviously, since the Luka trade rocked everybody's socks off, I had all this info for the Stars trade, and it kind of felt like, oh, well, none of that's coming up yesterday.
Two things about this, Mike. One, the Stars tweeted out, their Twitter account tweeted out, all in, and then said our general manager, Jim Nill, made this trade to signify to the locker room that they are all in. And, like, that's a bold statement around
so
DFW.
So they took a Mavs kind of shot and a Cowboys shot?
Yeah.
Like in this,
they took a shot at everybody.
In this X, right? We're all in.
Uh-huh.
That's
yeah.
a shot at the Cowboys because we know the Cowboys have not been all in for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're taking the opportunity as the Mavs trade their franchise player, the guy who sells, I'm going to guess, top five jersey sales
Gotta
in the
be.
World. And they're kind of like, we are going to do something that you're going to like. And I'm help me out here. I don't know. Is this person like,
so
what do you call it in hockey? An all-star?
Yeah. I mean, that is, although.
But they're not having the all-star
game
this year?
They're doing the Four Nations tournament. I understand. No, that's
the
Seven Nation Army.
Oh.
That is an amazing intro and baseline. I agree with all of that. But Mikhail, I'm going to go with Granlund and Cody Ceci. If, Alec, you can go ahead and give me cut number three, please. This is the player that I'm more excited about.
Across this time to Mikhail Granlund. He picks his way through center, gets in over the back of the line, gets through the defense, and on goal, he scores!
So the Stars, like, and I know we were joking about the all-in concept, but look what the Stars did. So to San Jose, who San Jose is like, the hell with it, I don't care. They gave him a first-round pick for this upcoming draft. They also gave him a conditional fourth-round pick that can jump up to a third-round pick if the Stars make the Stanley Cup final. And in return, they got Granlund and Ceci. Granlund is the person that you will think of from the offensive perspective, and Ceci is the defensive man. I'm not saying like they can't do anything else, but obviously that's what you're looking for. And Granlund, he has really popped up to being more like a top-line center over the past two seasons. He has 15 goals, 45 points in 52 games this year. So he's hoping to bring you some of the offensive punch that we talked about. Now, Ceci could be a different story.
Okay, why is that?
So if you talk to San Jose fans, they seem to really dislike him. And you know how in the trade everyone's like, this person got fleeced, that person got fleeced. If you look at, I probably looked at too much social media feedback about all of this. All the San Jose fans were like, I can't believe they took.
This is another trade that everybody, we're getting wiped on?
Just no. Because there are plenty of people who think the Stars won this trade. But there are San Jose fans who are like, I'm glad you took that defenseman off our plate. So any idea that he's going to fill the void of Chris Tanev, I think is a little foolish. But
can he play team defense?
I think so.
And Kevin, I feel like the biggest problem is you're still kind of missing some of that physical presence. Like,
sure.
This is still a Stars team that's very reliant upon finesse.
Yeah.
And I know the game kind of turned that way for a while, but to try and find that toughness to add to the roster, I feel like Tanev was a perfect toughness guy last year, but it didn't get you over the top. So, you know, maybe they're looking at everything a little bit differently, saying let's just continue to add to that. But I see what you're saying. The Athletic does have Stars getting a C+ and the Sharks getting an A- grade.
Ooh.
But you said it's all over the place here right now.
Look, and I like Granlund. He's going to be one of the alt captains, I think, for Finland in the upcoming Four Nations face-off. And so obviously he's already got some bonds with, or he will have some bonds with, multiple Stars players, because clearly a very heavy Finnish contingent on this team. So I just wanted to give the Stars some love because I like that they're going for it. I get the trade grade. Like, if you think San Jose did a better job on the trade than the Stars, I get what you're saying. But the Stars are like, hey, we're right there. We could use a smidge more scoring, and we're still looking for another blue line pairing that we really, really like. So let's add a player, and let's see what we can make happen there. And they decided, I'm going to sacrifice some draft capital for it.
And Sean Gentile, this is, that's great the way, what you just said there, because he pointed out, are you an actual Stanley Cup contender? If the answer is yes, not going all out this season, especially after two consecutive Western Conference finals, would be baffling. It'd be foolish. It'd be wrong. If not now, when? And that's, so the Stars said, this is the now. We're going to do it.
And just for the record, the Stars still have plenty of money available if they want to make a move. Because remember, Sagan and Lundqvist are eligible to go long-term injured relief, which will provide you with more cap space if you want the Stars to do more. I'm not making any promises, guarantees, but I still have a feeling that the Stars are going to try to do a little something extra. So just wanted to make sure the Stars got some love on Radio Row, Media Row. However, we are here for the Super Bowl. Gentlemen, would you like to talk about some freaking football already?
Oh, yeah, man. I'm looking around here.
There's only one game left.
I've seen some football players. Well, this year. Well, this season.
Yeah.
There's plenty of football left.
Yeah, because they're starting. The Renegades are starting here soon. Are we talking Renegades?
Yeah.
There's no way around.
The segment I
have for
you here.
There's no way.
Season preview for the Renegades.
All right.
Not really.
No, that's not going to happen.
Sorry, Carter.
Well, let him talk college football, though, right?
Oh,
Carter,
yeah. Oh, look, Carter can try to talk UFL whenever he likes. I'm just probably not going to carve out the time directly to make it happen. So I have got some questions for you about the Super Bowl coming up. And the first one is, and I want to know what your definition for this word is as well. Can the Chiefs contain Saquon Barkley? Like, I know what the actual definition of contain is, but from a football sense, what do you think containing Saquon looks like on Sunday?
Under 110 yards.
Okay.
Running.
Yes.
But I get, like, if you do that, but he has four catches for 80 yards and you hold him to 100 yards rushing, you didn't really contain him. He just got his close to 200 yards in different ways. So I get he's great, but so's Kansas City's defense. Now, that being said, I thought Buffalo had a lot of positive runs in the AFC Championship game. With lesser talent.
Agreed. And that's,
I do think Josh Allen's a better runner than Jalen Hurts. And Jalen Hurts isn't bad at running. Don't get me wrong here. I just think Josh Allen better than Jalen Hurts. But then Barkley way better.
Yeah, because Buffalo will spread out. And they'll spread out their running attack a little bit more. I believe it's 18 straight playoff games that the Chiefs have not allowed an individual to run for 100 yards.
Okay.
If they keep Saquon under 100 yards, I feel like it could be over, but you're right. Because of his versatility, maybe he tags on 100 yards receiving, and you're like, well, crap.
So one of the things, I heard Julian Edelman say this last night. He said Kellen Moore is allergic to the run game. He said, we've all known this. Kellen Moore, he gets antsy. Young coordinators typically get antsy with the run game. But what he's done so well throughout the playoffs is utilize the other talent to open up Barkley, to utilize A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert to create. Now you have a home run. And you're like, holy crap, he just busted loose for 76 yards. That's what Kellen Moore's done, a very good job of using the right run at the right time by creating the space and the chaos that he likes. Give Kellen Moore the credit. He has all the talent. And he's like, how do I use it to its best? And I think he will. I don't think he's just going to say, we're going to pound the rock today by any means. That's not Kellen Moore. But I think he's going to have a big explosive play set up, maybe a couple of them for Barkley, because he knows he's the most explosive player on his team.
What would containing Saquon look like for you, overall picture?
Yeah, I mean, if you contain him 75 yards, 78 yards, God, that's containment. You know, and that could be done on one play. So I think that's real containment, is 75 yards. You did a good job in this game.
Now this
it might in a weird way be the defense's responsibility early in the game. And I get Kansas City doesn't put up a lot of points this year, but if you were to get up, let's just say 13-3 midway through the second quarter, did you, the Kellen Moore situation, and then down by 10 to Kansas City, does that, in a way, stop Saquon as the game progresses because they're down by 10, getting close to halftime?
Maybe as a runner, I just wouldn't think as a receiver it would slow him down. because they're still going to find ways to give him touches, no matter, like, get the ball in his hands.
So you're putting it on Hurts then, which,
but it doesn't have to be necessarily on Hurts when you're passing out of the backfield to Barkley. Does that make sense?
Like, a short
pass turns into a big
play. As opposed to, we're going deep to Devontae.
Like,
right?
Cooper Kupp's entire career was short passes. That can happen. Hey, we made this space for you to get wide open so you can bust loose for a 30-yarder.
Do you want to just wave the Hunt family
over here? The Hunt family's over there. I'm asking a serious question. We're at Radio Row, if you're listening and didn't know we're here. Deal with it. Is CNBC, is that the news one? Is that news?
That's like the financial one.
Like Mike said, it's not just Radio Row anymore. It's Media Row.
That's big.
Midway.
So is he just going to talk about the finances?
I guess. The business of the NFL. Yeah. I mean, look, here's what I'm saying, Corey. Clark Hunt
and
is here to interview.
Probably going to talk about tariffs.
Maybe. Okay. The CNBC. All right. Gracie Hunt is just hanging out. If you want to ask her if she wants to be on the show, we can make that happen. Tim, don't look at Tim. Tim said we could be aggressive.
Just walk over and
it.
Say, hey,
you don't have to be
Gracie,
rude about it.
What is she going to talk about with us? Because she's going to talk about
Taylor
Swift.
You have nothing to talk to
Gracie
about?
Does she live in Dallas or does she live in Kansas
City?
See,
there's your first question.
Do you live in Dallas or Kansas? I have no clue.
And then if she lives in Dallas, you say what street?
No.
Sorry,
guys. Not that.
Streets are long.
It's being reported.
Just don't ask for the number.
It's being reported that P.J. Washington will be out tonight for personal reasons.
Oh.
So he will be. He's been downgraded out against the 76ers.
Nothing against P.J. Washington, but I just can't believe NBA players miss games.
And Anthony Davis is out. Max Christie, I think, is going to play for whatever it's worth if you're looking forward to, like, getting a glimpse out at him. All right.
So you want me to do that now?
Yes.
Tonight's the media party.
Yeah. No.
Maybe. What if we see P.J. at the media party?
Why would he? He's supposed to be
playing basketball.
Look, did you see Corey was getting up? He was about to go for it.
Go for it.
Tell her we're DFW.
Okay.
Go for it, Corey. We're
going to
finish this segment while you're chatting.
All right. I'll be back.
Coming up next, we got an option, Mike.
Yeah.
It could be baseball nuggets.
Yeah.
It could be you asking all the football questions.
Or
it could be Corey has wrangled us a guest here on Radio Row.
By the way, the Dodgers are adding a third baseman who hit 56 home runs in 2023. Next.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And Corey Majors has done it. He has brought us Gracie Hunt to the table. Thank you so much for jumping on with KNC this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to chat with you guys.
I don't think I told her that our name is the KNC Masterpiece either.
That's true. So clearly, and we don't like Philadelphia, so we're on your
all
side.
All right, you're part of Chiefs Kingdom, so we're friends already.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
I want to warn you about that friends thing, though, because was it last year or 2 years ago that we had your dad on? And
oh, no.
Mike asked a question because he was a really big fan of Shane Buechele.
I work with his dad, Steve Buechele. He's one of my favorite players as a kid on the Texas Rangers. So I knew what Shane was doing, loved Shane Buechele, and there was an injury to Patrick Mahomes. And I was like, oh, I hope Shane Buechele can get in. Nothing against, I'm sorry, I forget who the backup quarterback was at the time. But I think your dad might have accidentally taken it the wrong way. I wasn't saying anything negative about
he looked right
who the backup
goes, no,
quarterback was. I was just a big Shane Buechele fan because his dad, Steve, and I are friends.
That was
where I was trying to get to, but I'm maybe not as professional as sometimes I think I am.
Well, we got the heart behind it. Shane's wonderful. He went to SMU and is close with my brother.
And it was just really funny because Clark looked right at him and goes, no, I'm not rooting for that. And we were like, oh, my gosh, Mike, what are you doing?
Of course he wouldn't.
We're rooting for an injury-free good game.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
So one of the things we wanted to talk with you about, I know there's a lot of football, and we can get into that, but what you've been doing with Special Olympics, because every year, the day before Thanksgiving, we do a charity event called Peace-a-thon, which we do for My Possibilities in Plano, which helps
adults with
cognitive disabilities. And so I know they're not the same organization, but there's a lot of crossover there. And I just wanted to kind of talk about some of your work there because I think that's really cool.
I absolutely love Special Olympics, and I got involved as a partner player on a unified soccer team when I was 14 years old.
I played unified this last year, years now.
It's really an incredible experience because you go in thinking, you know, I'm going to help them learn to play the sport better, but you go in and you've learned so much from them in the process. Like, they've taught you what true joy looks like, and just really gave me so much and so much perspective about life.
Yes. No, that's exactly what I got from it. I got a best friends, you know, from being able to hang out with those guys.
So they threatened to bench Corey.
They did threaten to bench
me. They're like, you need to pick up your game.
You're slacking.
Yeah.
Can't have that.
And so I got to be better. And my kids get involved with it, too. They love it, so it's an absolute blast. And Special Olympics, a lot of the hipsters that go to My Possibilities, they all play Special Olympics as well. So it's a great combo for us.
I love how it just brings people together. It transcends all of these boundaries that you might see or that society imposes, and it's just been such a pleasure for me to be able to participate as a partner player first and then serve on two state boards and as a global ambassador as well, just as someone who promotes inclusivity and that there's no disability beyond a bad attitude.
Have you seen progress over the 5, 10, whatever, how many year period it is, that stigma is starting to fall? Because you said, you know, we can be kind of split off sometimes. Do you feel like we've made that progress where it's not there yet, but we're getting there?
I think there's work to do still.
Sure.
But I do think we're a culture that's definitely stepped up our game on respect and inclusion.
That's very cool. Now, speaking of inclusion, can we root for the Chiefs? Because once upon a time, y'all were the Dallas Texans, and we're just sad that our football team never makes it here.
You absolutely have the green light for me to cheer for the Chiefs. Yes, they were the Dallas Texans, and then moved up to Kansas City when my grandfather helped merge the league.
Do you have a checklist that could help us get to the Super Bowl? Because you guys are always here, and we can't even get to the game to get to here. Do you have, like, a quick checklist that will help us out?
You know, I think that Coach Reed, Mark Donovan, my dad, General Manager Brett Veach, they've all come together along with the leadership on the team and Patrick, Chris, and Harrison, and Travis, and it's the formula. It's a secret sauce. I couldn't give it out.
Yeah, okay, it's proprietary, that's fair. Dude. It's proprietary.
I had to give it a shot, though.
Did you grow up with the trophy in the house, the one that Jerry and Lamar talked about?
The Preston Road Trophy?
Yes.
Yes, that was the thing growing up. The Preston Road Trophy is real. It is not a legend.
That is what Jerry told us that a couple years ago, and I was like, no way. And then I was like, hold on, is this a real thing? So is it tall? Is it a beautiful trophy?
No, it's like part of a electrical post, so it's like wood. It's just like this little, it's very simple, very small.
So the sentimental value is far higher than like the monetary value?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm guessing not, but does this get to be old hat at all? You know, going and doing these big media events every single year, knowing that like, hey, in just a few days, your team is going to play to be the world champion.
It's more familiar than it once was, but it's never not magical. We're just so excited to be here, and it's like Christmas. You never take it for granted, and you just try and soak up every single moment and be present.
I think I know where your answer might go. Last question for you. In 5 days, will the Kansas City Chiefs have gotten the first three-peat in the Super Bowl era?
I'm betting on red.
Yes.
All right.
I like it.
I feel bad because I didn't wear my Chiefs hat today. I thought about it, but I'm wearing a Ranger gear. I'll wear it tomorrow
Mahomes.
Here.
He wears it to Cowboys camp. He'll wear Chiefs gear to Cowboys camp, and the Cowboys are like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they weren't too happy about that, but I thought it was funny.
Well, I know you're on a tight schedule. Thank you very much for jumping on with us.
Thank
very
you so
nice
much for having
you.
Me. It was great chatting with you guys.
Excellent.
Have a good
Thank
day.
You.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Look at Corey getting work done. We said, hey, can you make this happen? He went over. He talked to Gracie. She came over, jumped on the show. Fantastic.
That is awesome. I was going to ask Corey, like, was that ever his job? Because he seems to be very good at this.
Yeah.
I'm very shy at that.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like going and saying, hey, can you come on our show for 5 minutes? I just don't feel comfortable doing that. So
I think we missed the mark. She just told me she's a Rangers fan. So
oh,
I think
awesome.
We totally missed on that one. So she's a Mike Bassett fan
so we
already.
So we could have talked about the World Series.
There she goes.
And,
how gracious is she, though, man?
She's
like,
delightful.
Wow, what a wonderful woman. That's awesome. I made that happen for you guys, so that's
man,
mine.
Good job, Corey.
Now peer pressure. I get to peer pressure y'all into some stuff now.
Okay.
So, and we were doing off-air commentary. I was like, oh, I think it's going to happen. Then I go, oh, maybe not. And I go, wait, I think it's happening.
I did it. It was great. That was a very fun experience for me, too.
You want a mini baseball nuggets it up?
Yeah, we'll do mini baseball nuggets because I think this is me speculating, but this is also probably real. And something that Major League Baseball, this is not fun to talk about as we're 6 days away, I believe, from the Rangers pitchers and catchers reporting.
Is it the 12th,
I believe,
right?
Yeah.
Or is it the 10th?
I thought it was the 10th.
Okay. Yeah, maybe the 10th and then everybody else reports on the
14th. Yeah, so I think the 10th, the Rangers report to surprise the pitchers and catchers. And then the 13th or 14th, the rest of the team reports. And then they have their full workouts either on the Saturday, which is, I believe, February 15th is the Saturday, or Valentine's Day, February 14th, will be their first full workout.
So we're almost there.
And that's, it always reminds me of this. We are on the air, and Derek Holland was joining us the first day that everybody reported to camp. We were not in surprise, but with his friendship with Colby Lewis, he got Colby on, and Colby was like, I've never wanted to play baseball after I've been done with it.
Yeah.
But after that first ever meeting Bruce Bochy had with the team, he's like, I'm ready to pitch right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And who would have ever known? Like, it's great that he had a great speech and that he is a veteran manager, and we think the Rangers are going to be better than they were in 2022. Who would have ever known that day? Because I always remember Colby coming on, and then I heard from other people, Michael Young, who had Ron Washington as a manager, obviously, so did Derek and Colby. They're like, that was one of, if not the best speeches I've ever been a part of. And they're not even part of the team as in, like, trying to play anymore. So I just will always remember that as the first day of 2023 for the Rangers' full squad was Bochy inspiring and almost demanding that they're going to be great. He didn't come back to baseball to just manage. He came back to win a championship again.
I know you're going to pay off on the Dodgers tease, but I had a quick question for you. When it was about this time, or maybe it was mid to end of January or whatever, were you like so excited to get back to it, or were you like, man, I've only had a little bit of time with my wife or my family or whatever, like, I need a little bit more time?
You're excited and sad, I think, if you have a family.
Okay,
you know, now it just matters. If your family's going to live with you during the season or go to spring training with you, it's all excitement. It was tough for me. My wife was going through medical school or just starting, practicing medicine. So I knew when I left, let's say February 10th, I knew that now it was just going to be for the next about 7 to 8 months, she was going to visit me once a month.
Okay.
So that was going to be my life. My daughter still, but at the time, who was just an infant, Mary Grace, I was going to get to see her once a month for, like, let's say a 4-day period.
Yeah.
So you're very sad about that, but you're also very excited to try to put in all the work you did in the offseason to see if it's going to, for me, change, get better, you know, those things like that. And then you have the team concept of hopefully everybody put in the work, and you know, I don't like using the word lucky, but we can be fortunate and win more than we lose and find our way into a special situation.
Yeah.
So now I get to,
I guess, about the Dodgers now.
Now I get to the tease. And we'll get to talk a lot of spring training, you know, next week as everything gets to start.
And in a couple weeks, we'll be in surprise.
This is a little bit old, and this is just me going, this really stinks. There, next year, there will be a new 25-year-old who is coming from Japan who is supposed to be a stud. If I say his name wrong, I'm sorry. I didn't look up pronunciations of it, but it's Mu Nakata.
Nailed it.
Murakami.
Okay.
Last name Murakami. All right. This superstar slugger, Murakami, who 2 years ago hit 56 home runs in the Japanese league.
Is it
breaking?
It's more than Tom Selleck.
Legendary Sadahara O, and I guess if you listen to the Beastie Boys, that might be the only time you ever heard the word Sadahara O, but he's the Babe Ruth somewhat of Japanese baseball.
I just referenced the movie Mr. Baseball.
Yeah.
He comes up in that.
So Sadahara O, his record was broken 2 years ago by Murakami, I'm saying his last name right, who hit 56 home runs.
And that dude is just now 25?
He is coming to the major league supposedly in 2026. Now, he's just turning 25 years old. He's waited for the free agency.
And so he can open up the Yamamoto way and, like, give me all the money.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Now, the issue is everybody's like, name the third baseman for the Dodgers right now. They do not have a permanent long-term third baseman. So, like, every Japanese player, and they have that market, I can't remember. I'm sorry off the top of my head. The Dodgers are making so much money. Yeah. I get it. You're paying $70 million to, and I know they're not doing that because of deferred money to Shohei. You're paying Yamamoto all this. You just got Suzuki for cheap, but you just got Suzuki. Well, they're making so much money. They've become the official team of Japan, a whole country that their we're here at the Super Bowl. Their Super Bowl is baseball.
Yeah.
That's football to them is like whatever, who cares? Yeah. Baseball is the everything sport there in Japan. So their everything sport that all of their, let's say, entertainment for sports or most of it, the majority of it goes to baseball. It all goes to watching Dodger games when they're not watching their professional teams play in Japan. So this really stinks, but most likely the Dodgers are adding a 56 home run a season guy from Japan in 2026 to be their third baseman.
Well, I'm going to choose to ignore that. That's probably going to happen for a year. Is that fair, Mike? Yeah. I'll just choose.
Hey, he'll still be in Japan this upcoming year. I'm sure the Rangers will try to get him, and then he'll sign with the Dodgers.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. All right, I know we were moving really fast in that segment, doing a lot of different stuff. I would like to go back to the questions that could decide the Super Bowl, because we only got like one and a half of them. I would like to dive back into football, because we are in New Orleans after all.
I love it.
Let's do that next, right here on The Fan.